Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello, good evening. Welcome to the first Burnley Monday Owl live stream. Gonna start giving these a go. Have a bit of fun, chat about Burnley, get guests on. Tonight I'm joined by Chris. So, evening, Chris, you all right?
Evening, mate. I'm good, are you?
Yeah, not too bad. Thank you. Not too bad. First of all, where can everyone find you? Where are we finding you on socials and what you going
to? If you're going on Twitter, it's at Chris_Wilson6. I think if you go on the Burnley Monday Owl Twitter, you'll see me tagged in one of the tweets there. If you want to find me.
Sweet.
Just tweeting general rubbish on match days.
I like it. It's what I do mainly, and just hide behind a fancy profile picture. So yeah, you do well. So Burnley again, another win on Saturday against Huddersfield. Pretty convincing win. There's lots been said about how we played and the goals we scored and the manner we scored them. But I think it was quite a dominating performance from us, and yeah, one that we're pretty obviously gonna happen, really, given our league positions. Huddersfield squandering down the bottom, fighting for points, and us flying high. But what's your initial thoughts on the game on Saturday then?
Yeah, just like you said, straightforward. I didn't expect it to be as straightforward as it was, to be honest. With Warnock, and then they'd won the week before, you get that kind of new manager bounce, and you think, when you get to this time of season, sometimes you get these freak results that you wouldn't get ordinarily because teams are like battling for points. Probably, I think it'd be fair to say they need the points more than we do. And when you get like, it's mostly this time of season and you think anyone can genuinely beat anyone. And it's always the same in the Championship. But as you get to like March, February, people get desperate. So I just couldn't believe how easily we cut them apart. And I know the table sort of wouldn't back that up, but it was just complete domination from minute one to 90. I know Muric made a couple of saves, didn't he? But just it was just so easy. And you'd look at the next sort of two games we've got now, well, two league games, Blackpool and Wigan, and you think we could so easily do the same to of those two teams. So, you know, we've already put five on Wigan this season. I know it's a different manager in that now, but we could just so easily do the same to them as well.
Yeah.
It was quite frightening, really, because we scored four, but on another day, you know, Mattson hits the post. Like, Teller doesn't take that one through when he's, like, through on goal, and you think we could have had six or seven on another day, and I don't think that's, like, that's not downplayed it. We could have had six or seven on another day. We were just that good.
Yeah. Yeah, it were... I tweeted it. I said it was a tale of you watching a League One team against a Premier League team.
Yeah,
like,
essentially.
I meant that in the nicest possible way, but it just looked like we were the Premier League team and they were down, they were done and dusted. But yeah, like you said, it weren't the 4-0 defeat. It was the manner of the performance, weren't it? It was just that first half. I think we had something like 80% possession. They had like 40 completed passes. We had like nearly. Uh-huh. You know, a couple of hundred. It was just from minute one, just utter domination.
And probably like what made it a bit more interesting to me was that we actually did play him last season in the FA Cup when we were like down the bottom. There wasn't much in us last season in terms of like if you put all 92 teams into a table, we might have been 19th or 20th, whatever we were at the time, and they might have been 24th. And they did beat us at home, and on that day, especially second half, they were actually so much better than us.
Yeah.
So it's like, see the way they've gone in literally almost exactly a year for us to have just absolutely battered them. And I know they've lost a few players and a manager and what have you, but it was just the turnaround in a year that we've had.
Yeah.
Just unbelievable.
Yeah. They were just hemorrhaging goals for fun before Warnock came in, weren't they? And I thought, like you said, I sort of expected a win, but I didn't expect it to be as convincing, as dominating as it were. I even jokingly tweeted and commented on a few things saying, I wouldn't be surprised if I'm sat here tonight laughing at the fact that Warnock's done us over 1-0, you know, and I wouldn't have been surprised whatsoever. Like, you know, obviously it didn't turn out that way, but Warnock himself was just setting himself up for dragging, you know, bringing the bottom of the league Huddersfield to us and absolutely dicking us 1-0, and it's comments in the week where we're talking about how he's the best team he's seen in the Championship for 25 years or so. I thought it was just Warnock completely diverting the attention and the pressure off the players by already saying it doesn't matter what happens. If you go there and get beat, you've just got beat by one of the best teams this league's seen. If you go there and win, you've just beat them on the best team this league's ever seen. So he was setting up his players to sort of...
Yeah, I think he knew what... Yeah, he knew what he was doing when he said that. He definitely knew what he was doing. I think like their season won't be defined by coming to Burnley, like, but
no.
I think he will slightly. And I think he made a few changes, hadn't he? I don't think that was actually the Huddersfield's strongest team they played at. I think he kind of accepted and thought, listen, we'll just take this one on the chin.
Yeah.
Which is unusual, really, because I can't think of anyone off the top of my head who has actually come and done that.
I think it shows Warnock's actual experience in the game. I think, you know, like, it gets a lot of stick off away fans, but you can't knock the bloke. Like, he's had such a good career at this level. You know, he knows exactly what he's doing. He knows how to manage men, you know, to get them playing. And, well, not get them playing, but he knows how to get lads in the right frame of mind and get them fighting for his cause. And like I said, I just thought it was like a bit of a PR masterclass from Warnock, really. It just took all the pressure out of the game. The fans were just travelling because it was just, that's what they do. They just travel to the game. They weren't travelling. Obviously, they wanted to win, but I don't think any of them knew, expected that they were going to get the 3 points. But again, it was all down to Warnock's comments. And I don't know if you saw at the end, you see the nice moment at the end where the Burnley fans are giving him a bit of stick and he sort of like did a little jig and then applauded and then we applauded back and stuff like that. So it was a nice bit of mutual respect at the end. And yeah.
He is good. Funny. He's a character, isn't he?
Yeah.
I do hope he keeps him up. Not because I've got a particular affiliation for Huddersfield, but it is funny when he's managing. I do like it.
Yeah.
Do you know what? Weirdly, he's normally a lot more animated than he... I don't know if you'd see it on Saturday. He's normally more animated. Those decisions going against him, and I'm looking in the dugout thinking, oh, go on, like, put a show up. And he just weren't bothered. He was just sat there. I think he just...
I think he's just sort of...
He's mellow.
It's a win-win. It's a win-win, isn't it? He's come out of retirement. Yeah. He's back to his, you know, Huddersfield roots. And I think he's just enjoying just a bit of time back in football, and he's just happy to be there. And yeah, it's good to see him back in football. And like, I hope he does do it, you know, for them, because I just feel sort of on the teams that I don't mind. And we've got a little bit of like a soft rivalry, but it's all in like good sport in it and good jest. And I hope he does keep them up, because, you know, they're a good town and a good team. Yeah, I just want to touch on that second goal we scored. I tweeted a video of it, counting all the passes. There were 25 passes in the build-up. I've watched it full speed, I watched it slow speed, I watched it fast speed, and the way that we pulled the Huddersfield defence and midfield around, it were just like men against boys, and it were only going to end in one way, whether it were 25 passes, 40 passes, it were just only going to end in the back of that net.
Yeah, I think I don't think there was just that one. There was another one just before half time, and I actually think if it had gone in, the ball come across the face of goal, and someone just took it off Teller's toe. And I think if it had gone in, it would have been more passes than the one they actually scored.
But yeah,
you'd be hard pushed to find a better goal than that at the weekend.
No,
you know, I think there was eight players touch the ball, or I don't think Teller, Barnes and Brownhill got a touch. So
no,
I think that leaves eight.
I think there were just two. I think Brownhill got a touch. He dragged it out to the touchline and pulled it back. But I think it was just Teller and Barnes that didn't get a touch. Oh, but in the clip I've watched, they're sort of like, you just see Teller and Barnes just shifting left and right,
I think it's Barnes' run that actually opens up the space for Gubbinson to come in behind.
But it's that Barnes run. He comes across and opens up that little doorway, and Ekdal can just slide it through. Yeah,
yeah. It's funny though to see, like, if you'd have said last season you'd see centre halves on the edge of like the opposition's 18-yard box slipping balls through, you'd be like,
yeah,
no, you wouldn't. And then to be fair, I think Zorori's like officially been credited with a goal, hasn't he? Now the first one.
Yeah, for the first one. And yeah,
Bayer gets the assist on that. You know, he brings the ball out, and then for the third one, it's Bayer bringing the ball out for Gudmundsson, who finds Brownhill. So the first three goals were all essentially created by centre-halves. Yeah,
that was like the next thing I wanted to talk about was the centre-half's influence, which I've said it on the other pods and I've said it on a few different things, but it's no surprise that Company's got his centre-halves playing the way that he sort of used to, which were quite commanding and calm on the ball and driving. But like you say, for us, it always has been in the past that centre off gets the ball, drifts out wide, and just pumps a 60-yard diag into a channel. So seeing that, you know, and it's a constant theme now. Like, most of our attacks are building up from a centre off breaking through the lines, and you know, that's just a credit to, I think, Company's obviously taken a charge on that and let his coaches work on the other stuff. And I think Company's definitely, he's sort of leading that line.
It's the same with them all as well. You don't look at any of them centre halves and think, you know, say in the past, if we've had Tarkowski, you think, all right, well, that there are two centre halves.
Yeah.
And, you know, before Collins came in, and then you'd look behind it and think, oh, if Kevin Long come in, we're in trouble here.
Yeah.
But now you look and think, well, Bayer got injured, and you bring like Alder Keelan, and you think, all right, we're in safe hands here. Or Ekdal gets injured and like Taylor can shuffle in, or, you know, we've been unlucky, really. Like, Harwood Bellis has been out as well, because we do have four sort of first choice centre halves. But we've just got that depth, and they're all as good as each other. You know, Bayer probably is the best of the lot, but there's not a great deal between any of the others.
Like, no.
You feel in safe hands, whoever's playing. You don't look and think, oh, well, we're weaker now, because we're not. You know, we went to Millwall with Ekdal and Alder Keel, you know, 2 January, and we were. You know, we were fantastic, but we never looked, you know, we got bombarded with aerial ball for 90 minutes, but we never looked, they never looked out of place, or, you know, with the ball at the feet, they're assured. It's the same all over the pitch, to be fair. It's not just the centre-half, is it? It's the same everywhere. You take one out, and his replacement's not far off as good as the fella who's dropped out.
Yeah, it's been an astonishing turnaround in not just, like, style, but, like, just change of recruitment methods and styles and different targets. And like I say, we've never been blessed with probably more than one in each position for a long time. It's always been a solid 11 and then a couple of fringe players that can, you know, like utility men that can do a bit of everything, like, you know, But yeah, to have, like I said, to go back to centre-halves, to have four centre-halves interchangeable like that and not and look like they've all played 40 games of City this season, and,
yeah,
you know, to take two of our most inexperienced centre-halves this season and go to the probably the toughest place to go away from home and still deliver that performance, yeah, you can't fault them. You can't fault what they're doing, and credit to like the company and the coaching staff. I think not just having players that are talented enough, but are also smart enough to get the systems and play to the system straight away. Like Ekdal's only played like how many games he played? Like six in the league. Like the man looks like he's on his like 1,000th game in the Championship. He looks like a seasoned veteran in this league. You know what I mean? It's class. So good. So it's good news about Bayer for next season. Then that's the first bit of business, isn't it?
I think that'll probably be the first of, I'd imagine, quite a lot again with the, you know, with like how Bellis will go back to City, Matson back to Chelsea, Teller to Southampton, and like, all right, we'll throw Dervis Oglu in there in the interest of Furness, but you know, so we're essentially going to lose four players, as say we keep Bayer.
Yeah.
It's gonna be thing getting them all back. It's gonna be a bit of a, It's gonna be a bit of a push, but at least Bayer was the one. Well, for me, he's the one who I look at and like, we need to get hold of him.
Yeah,
and to get him for the money, we've like, what is it, about 3 million? People are saying
if we get him on 3 million quid, it's got to be one of our best bits of business, because he'll do. Like half of, if he has another season like he has done in the Prem, you're talking 20 million already.
Yeah, so easy.
You've made your money back there. So, so on the loan signings, sorry, can you say something?
No, I was just going to say, like, it's interesting because when Bayer came in, and I didn't know anything about him. I'm pretty sure most of the fans wouldn't know anything about him. Yeah, and if you'd have asked anyone in September, like, oh, look, you're going to sign Jordan Bayer in the summer for 3 million. Like, do you want to take it now?
Yeah.
Everyone would have been like, nah, we'll wait. No one knew how good he was. So, like, I don't know who inserted that clause for 3 million, whether it was company or someone else. But they've played an absolute blinder. So someone's seen how good he is and thought, 3 million, just do it. But whoever's done that.
Yeah. I still don't know why he's not playing at Gladbach, because
I don't understand.
I don't get it, unless his desire is to get over to English football and he's turned down. I don't know what the ins and outs are, but he's ready made for, I think, most mid table top leagues in Europe as a minimum. You know what I mean? He's quality.
Yeah. But it's just the way he brings the ball out.
Yeah.
It's the way he brings the ball out from the back. I think we missed him when he didn't play. You can notice we miss him, because none of the other three, whether it be Bellis, Ekdal or Aldekeel, they can't, I'm not saying they can't bring the ball out, but they can't bring the ball out like Bayer can, where if you sit off, he'll run through you.
Yeah.
If you come to him, he'll run past you. He can do anything. He's more of a dribbler than any of the others, I think.
It feels like more of like a defensive midfielder, doesn't it? Like, it feels like the player the centre-halves pass to, and then he breaks the lines. Having two centre-halves that can do that so effectively, and then Cullen sat in front that does that so effectively, but also Cullen is the protection when the defenders break out. Like, it's like clockwork. You can see it happening, unfolding. So from another loan signing, I want to talk about another loan signing. We got the fourth on Saturday. Good to see him get a goal again, get another goal. That'll do his confidence the world of good. I know he seems to be enjoying himself at Burnley. I know he's been pining to come pretty much since August, really. So it's sort of nice to see him get his goal. What do you think? How important do you think he'll be in the running towards the end of the season over Femi?
It's hard to say at this point, but I mean, you're looking at the squad, and especially with the cup and things like that, because, you know, assuming we go through against Fleetwood, then Blackburn gets pushed back, and you've got the Easter fixtures and stuff like that, then a rearranged game. You've still got midweek games in April, And all of a sudden, players like Obafemi, Foster, you know, Sherlin, obviously can't even get in the squad.
Yeah.
You're looking at them sort of players and thinking, all of a sudden, they're going to have, like, they're going to have a role to play here because they're just going to have that many games. You know, if we get through in the cup, April's going to be just manic for us. We rearrange games, and then the season's ending at the beginning of May, isn't it? So everything has to be done.
Yeah.
It's going to be manic. So he is going to play a part. And you can see, like, when we've needed, you know, when we needed a goal against Watford, he come on and he delivers. And, you know, we didn't need a goal against Huddersfield, we come on and he's in the mix. He just seems to be in the right place at the right time. I don't know much about him. I've not seen much of him when he's played for Swansea. I know he's played up front, but for us, he's played more out wide, which I could be wrong. But I think when he come through at Southampton, I don't think he was a striker as such. I think he did play more out wide.
Yeah,
so I don't know whether that's going to be like a natural sort of.
Yeah,
he's going to drift back out there.
It suits like our system because our system sort of like pretty fluid in it with the attacking players. They all sort of interchange and chop and change. But like to have somebody like Obafemi sat on the bench ready to come in, like you know, minus the because he's had a bit of a quiet season up until now at Swansea, but last season he was like pretty decent for them. But to have that sort of level of player just sat waiting to come on and change a game is frightening sometimes. Wow. And it's effective, it's working. Like the times he's come on, he's looked like he's changed the game, or he literally has changed the game and scored the goal. So hopefully he can sort of carry that on. Do you think he'll end up getting a start against Fleetwood? We'll come on to Fleetwood in a little bit.
I think so.
I think it makes sense.
He's going to have to. I used to say this to people about Twine and. And I get why Twine never played and stuff like that, but Obafemi hasn't played much for Swansea since like August.
Yeah, since he didn't down tools, but he's sort of like
I just don't think the manager picked him because of everything that was going on. I don't think he picked him, but so he's not got that. He's not got like 90 minutes in him.
Yeah,
but he's never going to get close to having 90 minutes in him if he doesn't start a game. Like, he's not going to get match fit coming on for half an hour, 15. No, he's going to have to start eventually.
Yeah.
And you're looking at that game tomorrow and thinking that's a good game for him to play in.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'd be amazed if he didn't start.
Yeah, I think that too. I think it's the right game for him. But like I said, we'll talk about Fleetwood shortly. Just had a few comments earlier in the week from listeners, followers, whatever you want to call yourselves. I'll just put them on screen now. So one from Neil Layfield, who says, Saturday was probably the best attacking display I've ever seen from us. Hard-pressed between this and Sunderland's second half. Ekdal is an absolute Rolls-Royce, and yet more credit has to go to VK and his recruitment team for finding these gems. Good to see Obafemi scoring. It's basically a podcast outline of what we've just been talking about.
That, I was going to say, I think
from
that's,
Neil.
that's just what we've been saying,
But yeah, I
wouldn't disagree with that. I wouldn't disagree with that personally. I did say to my mate, at half-time, I was like, I don't think I've seen us play some great football. I think I tweeted this as well, actually. We've played some great football this season, but I don't think we've ever played anything like that first half. I think some of the football's been here, but that was sort of up here. That was next level, that first half Saturday.
Yeah. We've always been a team that, like, I've always felt in the past that when we have faced teams that we should be beating, we never seem to step up our game to show we tend to, like, drop down to, like, their level. But Saturday felt like that. No, we're top of the league. We're going to take it to you this game. And they did from minute one. It was just relentless, weren't it? Just an absolute bombardment from minute one. And the Huddersfield must have gone in at half-time and just thought, ref, blow it now. You know, blow it now. Let's get back on the bus. Let's get over Penhands.
I think that's why he only added 4 minutes on me. Matson was down for more than four.
Yeah,
I think he just felt sorry for him and he thought,
if that had been a World Cup game, Huddersfield would have had another 20 minutes of that.
There was all the subs and everything. He just added four and he thought.
So we've got another one more comment I wanted to share from Higgy Claret, 1234. Cheers, mate. He said, thought we were outstanding throughout the game Saturday, albeit against poor opposition. Some of the passing moves were out of this world. Roberts was absolutely fantastic on the right side. Good to see Oberbeck too. Looks like he's got something about him. So, yeah, we've not mentioned Roberts yet. He's had, since the World Cup's finished, absolutely different player. Sort of makes sense. I think he sort of admitted that himself, didn't he, that he was slightly distracted by the World Cup, which is understandable, I guess. You know, you can't really blame him for you know, getting his head turned a little bit by that, but yeah, to respond the way he has, I think this, it just makes it all fine for me.
Yeah, I've got no qualms with him. He's Welsh, going to a World Cup, and they don't come around very often. That's his thing. I think it always means more to Welsh players than it probably does to like English as well, and as it would with Scotland or Republic of Ireland or whoever it might be. But I think he's always been company's first choice at right back. And I know Vitinho played there for a while. But with Roberts, you know, Swansea have got like a certain sort of football, like a football DNA, where they always play like the same, like whether it was Martinez or, you know, it's Russell Martin now. And they've always played that same sort of football. And it's, you know, it's not as good as what we're playing now, but it's along them sort of lines. And he knows he's come through that way, so that's all he's ever known. He knows how to play that way. And I think that's why he's always he's going to be his first choice right back if he's fit. Yeah. I watch Vitinho sometimes, as much as I like him, he's not got the same football in him Roberts has got. I don't think he'd ever play that pass for the fourth goal.
I'm not sure
he'd see it. I don't think he'd see it. I love him, and I think he's good. He's a great option, but I just don't think he's got the same.
Yeah, I think Vitinho would probably he'd probably take the shot on
He had one when he come on, and I know he come on at left back, and it's different. And he was sort of facing his own goal, and he had two passes on, and someone like on his back. And I'm thinking, just pass it, and he kept it, and eventually we were at our own byline. He thinking this could have easily been avoided, and I just don't think he sees. Which is strange because he's Brazilian and you'd think he would. But I don't think he sees the game the same as Roberts does. And I think that's why he just...
Yeah.
Unless Roberts gets injured, I don't think he'll...
No. Roberts is part of that, like, almost like elders grouping. I know he's not old as Roberts, but I think he's got an experience.
He is compared to some of the others, isn't he?
Yeah. I think company relies on them. He's got like a bit of a core group, and that all of them could have like put the captain's armband on, and I think they'd all lead. You know, there's like probably Brownhill, Cullen, Barnsley, Cork, Roberts. You know, I think Gunnarsson, they'd all put the armband on, and I think every lad would follow him into
Palestine.
And that's why he does revert back to Roberts all the time. And
I think it's interesting with Roberts as well. I don't know if other people have seen this, but if you watch Burnley from sort of August, maybe September, when it was all new and we were still learning the ropes, and Roberts almost dropped into like it. I think a lot of people picked up on it actually that he was like a right-sided centre half at times, where you think he was just playing at centre half and that's not really his game. And then it was ever so like a subtle tactical switch, I think. So I don't think we played the same way now that we did in August. I think it's more fluid now than it was. I don't think it's the same. I don't think it is anyway, but he plays a lot higher up now, I think, and he's more involved in the attack than he is in the build-up at the back. You still see him in that central area, but not at the right of a back three.
I think that's because I think at the start of the season, teams sort of stepped on us quite a lot.
Because I don't think anyone knew what to expect as well.
No. And I don't think we knew what to do with all that space in behind when they stepped on us, and it forced they stepped on us and it forced our players back, but we didn't register to send it sort of over the top, if you know what I mean. We still wanted to play that way, and now teams have figured us out. They're stepping off us. Roberts is pretty much having the ball for like nearly 30 minutes in a game. You know what I mean? He's like seems to always have the ball. So I'd say evening to Paul Alt. Cheers for watching. There's not many on tonight, but is the first one, so I appreciate you coming on, Paul. Get your comments in if you have any more, anything else to say or disagree with what we say. If we're chatting too much crap, then chime in. Lastly, we'll say on Huddersfield game, then man at match, who are you going for?
I went for Cullen because it would be easy to give it to Gudmundsson for two assists or
yeah,
but he's just everywhere.
Yeah,
every game. I could give him man of the match every game. He's that good. He's just everywhere. If there's a loose ball, I don't even need to look. I know he's got it.
Yeah,
he's just first to everything. The second goal we score, he probably has four or five passes in the build-up to that goal.
Yeah.
And then the little layoff, and he gets it out to Bayer. Sorry, Ekdal. And that's how we get out from that side. We're penned over, and he gets us out. He's so good. I think I said to someone on Twitter, he's the best midfielder in the league by a considerable way.
I think I'll try and dig out a tweet that I posted on my personal Twitter, and I tweeted in August saying Josh Cullen's going to be the best midfielder in the league, and everyone was slamming me for it and saying Brownhill and Corker 10 times a player, and I was like, I said, if you know ball, you'll know that kid is the real deal. He scans everything.
It's his tactical understanding as well. It's because he's come with. Because he's played with company. He was the one player, I think, that he'd have really made a fist on to get him here, because he was the one player who's sort of crucial to the way we play.
It felt like within seconds of company landing, it was like, here's Vincent Kompany, here's Josh Cullen. Here's Josh Cullen. So it was like, company obviously knew that how important he was, and he was going to build a team around Josh Cullen. As for Man of Match, I have to stop giving it Josh Cullen, because I seem to give it every time.
Every game,
he's just head and shoulders above everybody on that pitch in terms of tactical ability, technical ability. And I'm still astonished how we have him, and how we've got him for so cheap.
If I had to give it anyone other than Cullen, you'd be looking at likes of Ekdal or...
Yeah, I think Ekdal... I think Ekdal gets the man of the match for me, because... He were very quite calm in that game, and a lot of defenders, when they don't have a lot to do, can get quite bored. And Ekdal didn't seem to do that. Bay obviously likes a run, and he just was everywhere. But I think Ekdal just sort of remained calm, and then he had his important moments. He just kept trying to slide that ball through the middle, and it would just cut. And then obviously it did come off. So I think Ekdal edges it for me, other than Josh Cullen. But I can't keep giving it Josh Cullen, to be honest, because. Just getting boring. He's my player of the season.
He's my player of the season too.
Yeah, Paul agrees. Cullen sneaks it. Superb player. Yeah, can't disagree.
It's not because he does. He never does anything spectacular. He never. He doesn't score many. He doesn't assist. But everything he does is spot on.
I'm not a footballer. Obviously, I play football for appalling standard. I've played it. I'm no footballer. But I was always told. If I ever played in midfield positions, it was get in a good position away from players, get the ball, give it to somebody else.
Give it someone else, yeah.
And that's what Cullen does. He gets in a good position in space where he can draw some players towards him, gets the ball, gives it to somebody else. And that's just so pivotal in the switch of the play. That second goal, I'm pretty sure the ball goes back to Cullen every sort of fourth pass.
Yeah,
if not every second pass. And it just kept pinging back to him. And I'd love to just have that old player. I don't know if you remember that player cam that used to have on the red button. I'd love to just sit and have player cam on Josh Cullen for 90 minutes. Yeah, just watch him for 90 minutes. He's absolutely class. So you'll go Cullen, I'll go Ekdal. I think probably Cullen will probably swing it. I've seen on Twitter a lot of people saying Cullen. Some people saying Gudmundsson, which I think is...
I think Gudmundsson's fair. I like Gudmundsson when he plays in the middle. I'm not keen on him out wide because I don't think he's as quick or as tricky as some of the other lads we've got.
Yeah.
I think in this sort of system, I think that's what we need. But in the middle, he's a different player in the middle, I think.
Yeah.
I like him in there.
Yeah, hope it continues. So next up for us, we've got Fleetwood in the FA Cup. I'll be honest with you, I'm a bit excited for this game because it feels like it's a win. I don't want to get too big-headed, but I'd like to think that we'd sort of push aside Fleetwood. I mean that in the least disrespectful way to Fleetwood fans, if anyone, Fleetwood fan listens, but this is a real chance to see us actually do something in a cup competition, especially the FA Cup, because I've never seen that in my lifetime. We've had our moments occasionally against Liverpool or the League Cup, but this feels like a big opening, a big chance tomorrow night to have a push on.
That's what it is. There were, obviously, there was the Carlin cut, the coil, weren't there? But other than that, really, that I can remember, we've had nothing. I don't want to be like the bearer of bad news or the Grim Reaper or anything, but I think we did get knocked out at this stage by Lincoln.
Yeah.
Lincoln did knock us out at this exact stage. So it's, you don't want to get too carried away, but I can't see that happening again.
Yeah.
But
I think we have to be cautious. I think it's Scott Brown that's gone in there, like the ex-Celtic.
Yeah.
Scott Brown's in there and he's doing a decent job by all accounts. He's sort of only... they're unbeaten in the last five with four wins, really.
And I think four clean sheets as well. So
he's obviously turned them around. They are sort of they're floating around mid-table. So their season, I don't know if I can have a quick look at the table.
I think it's weird when you find teams in mid-table this time of season. Because they're not competing for anything in League One. You're looking at it thinking, are they going to throw everything at this?
Yeah. Well, they're like... nearly 15 points away from the playoffs, so you sort of think they're going to hang the hat on this game defining their season, really. So
they've never been to the fifth round before, have they? I saw they've never been to the fifth round, so obviously they've never been to a quarter either.
It's a big game. There's that sort of Northwest rivalry vibe about it as well, sort of like plays into it and they've had quite a, I think, a tricky run getting to where they are. I think they played Oxford City they played Oxford City in the first round, which is always a different, like we've experienced it playing the non-league team. They then beat Ebbsfleet, which again could have been a tricky tie in the second round. Then they knocked out QPR, and then they knocked out Sheffield Wednesday over two legs. So in this competition,
you never know, do you? You look at it and think, well, we should have enough to win. And I think we will have enough to win. But you just never know, especially in the FA Cup. I know it's cliche and like, oh, anything can happen in the FA Cup, but it genuinely can.
Yeah.
You don't want to look too far ahead. But you're looking at the draw and you're looking at, besides City and United and maybe Spurs, but you never know what you're going to get from Spurs. There's only them in it and you think, I wouldn't want them. Anyone else you're looking at thinking, if we got you at home, we could beat you.
Well, like,
I don't know what's going on now. I don't know what the scores are now, but
I'll tell you in a second. But the teams left in it, Man City, Man United, West Ham, Tottenham, Leicester.
United and West Ham have got each other, haven't they?
So United and West Ham. Tottenham, Sheffield United, that'll be no easy game for Tottenham.
No, it won't. Sheffield United.
Sheffield United at home.
Well, Blackburn 1-0 against Leicester.
Oh, are they? I sort of predicted that with my mate at work that Blackburn had beat Leicester because they're inconsistent at the minute. But
it'd be interesting though, like if the Blackburn Burnley game got called off.
Yeah,
and we drew them in replaced.
It was just replaced with Burnley Blackburn. Yeah, I think that's the only way that it doesn't really alleviate like a fixture congestion, does it?
If we both got that.
They're saying that it might even be, it would be earlier than planned. You know what I mean? It won't get pushed back. It'll get brought forward. Yeah, because it'll either be that or it'll be like. It'll be like the midweek before the last game of the season.
It'll be chaos. It's going to be a midweek, isn't it? So it's going to be chaos. Yeah. Like it'd be a proper police job, but it'd just be absolute chaos.
Well, in the FA Cup at the minute, you've got Brighton beating Stoke at half time. Devon Road are 1-0 up against Leicester, and it's 0-0 in the other two games: Leeds, Fulham, and City, Bristol City. But Millwall are beating Luton in the playoff clash.
That's a big result. It's at Luton as well, isn't it?
Yeah, tasty game that one. Go on then. Give us your team. No, not team. Give us your changes. Then what we're gonna see big changes or minor tweaks?
I think more I don't know. I want to say minor tweaks because I hope he sort of goes.
Yeah.
Strong. I wouldn't. I think when we played Ipswich. I said to people when I come off, when you sort of change one or two players, three players, you sometimes you don't notice it. Yeah. Like in league games, sometimes you've not noticed when he changes, but when you change 8, 9,
yeah,
you can notice it because it becomes disjointed.
Yeah,
I think that's what happened against Ipswich and why we struggled because people haven't played with each other and it becomes disjointed.
Yeah,
I'd just be looking at making maybe I wouldn't make more than 4 changes, me honestly. No. You know, Matson won't play, I wouldn't have thought.
No,
so there's one.
Yeah,
I'd leave the goalie because we're a different team when he plays. I'd just leave him in goal.
Yeah.
I'd bring Obafemi in, probably.
Vitello,
just a straight swap.
Yeah.
You know, Zorori played 90 minutes on Saturday, so whether he plays again, I don't know.
Yeah, it's a tough one because this is where I come undone on Football Manager. Is like, I have a good run and then the cup run comes and I go, leave the team, keep it steady, don't change anything, and then bang, 3 injuries and you get beat 3-0 and you're out of the cup. Stiff and you're goal. Like,
it's a balance.
Do we want to keep momentum, keep the good, you know, keep playing what we do? Obviously, I think the 2 centre-halves will stay the same. I'd be surprised if he changes that, unless he has fitness concerns, you know, for the head of the Blackpool game.
Yeah. Baez only just come back from an injury, hasn't he? So there's that as well.
I could see the rationale behind it, but I don't think I'd like to see it. I'd like to see him get as much minutes as he can. Paul says he hopes he goes pretty strong.
I agree with that.
I think, you know, we go, you know, go strong and then get past Fleetwood and then see what happens. One game from Wembley then, aren't we? So go on then, give us your match predictions. Give us your score.
I just 3-0. I just don't see any way that we don't win the game. I think if you predicted anything other than a Burnley win, I think you'd be probably lying to yourself. You just couldn't. I don't know how I could possibly give you any reason that we wouldn't win the game.
Yeah.
I know it could be tricky, but you just couldn't say with any confidence that they won't win.
Paul saying 3-1. 3-1 Clarks. Yeah. I'll take that. I'll take that now, definitely.
I'll just take anything, like you said. If we win tomorrow night, we're one game from Wembley.
Yeah. Does tonight have to end on the night? Is this when the rounds change?
I think this is when they change.
I don't know if I made that up in my head or it was like next season thing, but that changes the dynamic of the game now where we don't have to... I feel like the Ipswich game was... I don't think there was much like desire to kill that game. And Ipswich sort of knew that they'd get a replay. There was no like jeopardy. There wasn't enough jeopardy on that game. Whereas the second game came and there was that jeopardy there to push on and kill it and win the game as late on as we did. So, well, hopefully it doesn't go extra time because that's just more minutes in the legs that we don't need.
And it'll be cold as well.
Yeah, and it'd be cold and it'd be late. So I won't get home till late. So I'm going to say like 2-0. I think it'll be a steady... I think it'd be a tough first half. I think it'd be 0-0 first half, but I think we'll just kick on again. Like I've said on a few other things, I feel like teams can play against us for 60 minutes and then that's it. We sort of just, if we're 0-0 at 60, it's like you've just pissed us off and we step on a few gears, you know what I mean? Yeah. And I think that's how it'll sort of unfold. And Fleetwood will come, sit back, you know, make it really tough for us. And we'll just have to be patient like we are and then dig in the second half, I think.
Yeah, I think no disrespect to them coming out of League One, but
no,
it's just going to be something completely different to anything they've ever come up against before.
You saw the difference between the top of the Championship and the bottom of the Championship.
Yeah,
on Saturday, like it's another level to that. You've gone from the top of the bottom of the Premier League, top to mid table of League One. That's it.
There'll be players running from everywhere. They'll be running in behind it, it'll just be almost impossible for them to stop. Yeah. I think.
Yeah, I'd be a lot less confident if it was away from home. But the fact that we're at home, company loves it. Every comment that the lads keep saying, it's like, we love playing at Turf Moor, we love being here. So I feel like they just get energy from being at home and it don't matter who we play. Yeah. You know, like I say, we've not been beaten since like the iPhone 7 came out at home in the Championship. So it's like, I just feel like anyone can turn and they're just not bothered. So yeah, I think it'd be comfortable. We'll have a quick chat about Blackpool away because I don't think I'm going to get another pod in before then, and it will be quite a few days after. Blackpool away, they're not doing very well. They're Wigan, Huddersfield, and Blackpool, they're like cut off, really. I think it's going to be pretty much them three you see for the rest of the season, unless they have an absolute miracle. Mick McCarthy's in there, he doesn't seem to be getting a tune out of them. I don't think their last few results.
I think they won one against Stoke, didn't they? And then they were awful at Reading, weren't they? And then I think someone asked him. He said in his press conference, and he said, "Mickey, he said it can't carry on like this, can it?" And I think something in his head realised that the next game was against Burnley, and he was like,
"Yeah,
it can't." It can.
And his thick Yorkshire accent, "Yeah, it can. We got Burnley next." They're proper inconsistent, aren't they? Like, well, they're not. They've consistently lost, but like they've gone from a draw against Rotherham to losing 2-1 to winning against Stoke to then losing against Blackburn. And then losing to Reading 3-1, which is like a game they should have been looking at as someone to win. And
because I think Reading are sort of like lower mid table.
Yeah,
they keep
flirting. My good friend's a Reading fan, and he's like pissed off because it was always like we all the way through the season. He was like, "Oh my god, we're gonna get in the playoff final together," and I'd be like, "I'd be buzzing with playoff final." At the start of the season, I'd be like, "Yeah, playoff final, it'll be buzzing," and then we've just pissed off up the league, and they've just sunk like a stone.
I don't know with Blackpool. I thought originally, you know, when we went to Luton and the pitch was like awful.
Yeah.
I looked at Blackpool. I watched the highlights against Stoke and the pitch was in decent nick and it made me feel a bit better because I thought, oh, I should be able to play on this.
Yeah.
You just can't see us losing there, can you?
I don't see Company allowing us to have an off day. You know, you're going to get them, but I just don't see them fixtures. They're not. It's more the fixtures against like Watford, Sheffield United. You know, like Middlesbrough. They're the games that concern me. Like these games now, just don't. Like he's got that winner's elite mentality of, you know, that we just win them games. I think Saturday will just be probably another similar story to Huddersfield. It'll be pretty comfortable. I think it'll be 3 or 4. I've no concern. I think the key from Saturday is just everyone that's going and did manage to get tickets, which is a completely touchy subject on Twitter about Blackpool tickets. So we'll not go in there, or else we'll get cancelled. It's just everyone that's there, enjoy the day. It's going to be a good day out. We'll see a few goals and we'll just, it feels like, do you remember that year when the last time we got promoted where we could have gone up that day? I think if the result in the evening had gone out our way and it was just a big big party and we won and, it's just a good day out. We had a good following there, so I'm looking forward to Saturday. It's gonna be a decent day out. I think you're going, aren't you? You're gonna be there.
Yeah, I'll be there. It'll be a decent day out, like you said, and just what are we like 3,200 with tickets we can get, something like that. It'll be a decent following. Yeah,
there'll probably even be a few more that snuck in the home end. I'd imagine not to. Like,
yeah, there will be
anyone.
Yeah, 100%.
And even that, there'll just be a good feeling about the pubs and the play everywhere. It'll just be full of Burnley fans that day. It'll just be overtaken. I think there'll be more than what tickets are available in Blackpool, I think, on Saturday. So
People will have booked hotels and stuff like that once the game went on telly and just hoping to get a ticket. And they'll be everywhere.
And we had the issue with the trains as well, which like completely scuppered any plans that we had. We were gonna go early on the train and make a day of it and you know, get in the pubs and have a good laugh and that. But yeah, I think mate of mine's having to drive now. He pulled the short straw and having to drive us over because we couldn't get a minibus because literally, like, there's 3,000 fans trying to get all the minibuses to come from Burnley to Blackpool.
Because everyone's doing the same thing.
It'd be a good day out. But I say I'm going to go for like 3-0, I think, Saturday. No bother.
I'd probably be looking at sort of 2. Yeah. I'd take 2-0. Just away from home, sometimes it can be different, but
yeah,
I feel like I'm repeating myself. I just don't see anyone beating us.
Yeah, it's very
like when we were saying before we come on about like points records and stuff like that, and we said, like, oh, they need 30, and they won 10, they'd need 10 wins out of 12. And it seems far fetched, but then if you look at the 12 games we've got left, who beats us?
No, the only points we're going to drop are like maybe Middlesbrough, but they proved against West Brom that they're under Carrick are invincible. Like West Brom, by all accounts, pretty straightforward win as well. So you know they were 2-0 up after like 15 minutes, something daft like that, weren't they? So I don't think we'll do the points record.
Yeah, I agree. I think we'll just fall short.
Yeah, my head says we won't. My heart says, yeah, we'll batter it. But
yeah,
it's one of them. I think company, obviously, he had the season where City won the league and it was done, but they were still chasing that 100 points down, weren't they?
Yeah.
You know, like him and Pep, I think, were like pretty much cheerleaders for that. Of like, don't matter, we've won the league, but 100 points is all that matters. And they kept fighting till the very, very end. They were like 1-0 down to Southampton, weren't they? With like 5 minutes to go, and
they still dug
it out. So I think he'll bring that to us, and he'll push for more than the title.
He'll push for it. Yeah.
I don't think we'll get that drop off that you sort of see promoted sides get.
Yeah.
You know, I think it'll, if anything, I do have a feeling it'll make us worse. I think it'll actually, not worse, I think it'll make us worse for everybody else. It'll probably, you know, I think for company will not, it won't take his foot off the lad's necks, you know what I mean? And he'll be, you know, it might just turn him up to like 11, you know what I mean? Like, it just crank it up one, so.
I do think we'll get over 100 points, but.
Comfortably, just, not a problem.
Yeah. I struggle to see us, if we get 107, I'll be surprised.
Yeah. No, I think if we match it, I'll be happy. If we don't, I'll be happy. If we get over 100 points, I'll be happy.
Be happy.
We're going up.
As long as we go up, yeah.
We're going up. Like, if we have an absolute meltdown now, then we don't deserve to go up, but it's done. No other team's catching us, so. Yeah, so that's been the first live stream. I think we've had a couple of viewers on. But no, it's been good chatting, mate. I appreciate it. So thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for
having me. Yeah, just remind everyone again where they can find you and follow you. I know you do some good stuff with stats and Flash Score?
So if you're looking for like a little preview on the game tomorrow night, if you go on the Find the Burnley game, the preview will be written by me on there. So.
Sweet. Is that something you can tweet out as well, and we'll share
get it tweeted out and we'll share it, all good stuff.
But yeah, you can find obviously us on Burnley Mundial on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, Facebook. Make sure you give the YouTube channel a subscribe, trying to get more on there. Twitter's where I just spout most of the crap, and then the other stuff's just added stuff. So yeah, gets liked and followed and subscribed and much appreciated. So yeah, cheers for coming on, Chris, and cheers for listening and getting involved. No problem. We'll have you on again soon. So yeah, hopefully in a couple of days' time we'll be back on and sharing two Burnley wins and one game away from Wembley. So evening. Good evening.
Podcast Network. Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.